All right, let's dive into some fascinating stuff today. We've got excerpts from Rich Dad's Advisors, Guide to Investing in Gold and Silver. A listener sent these in. And, well, it's a pretty intense read. It talks about a perfect economic storm brewing and how gold and silver could be the key to not just surviving it, but actually coming out ahead.
Yeah, it's a pretty bold claim. But what's interesting is how they back it up with historical examples. Like, they talk about ancient civilizations like Athens and Rome, you know, and how they faced economic turmoil when their government started messing with their currencies.
Right, right. Debasing the currency and all that. Mm-hmm. It's a scary thought, history repeating itself. I mean, do you see any parallels with what's happening today in our economy?
Well, you could definitely argue that some modern policies like quantitative easing, where central banks essentially print more money to try and stimulate the economy, you know, some economists say that's kind of similar to what those ancient governments did, and it can lead to inflation and a decrease in the purchasing power of your money, right?
Yeah, it makes you think it's not just about history. It's about seeing those patterns play out in the present and how they might hit us in the wallet. The book also talks a lot about the difference between fiat currency and real money, like gold and silver, right?
Yeah, that's a big part of their argument. They say that most people misunderstand this difference, and that's a huge opportunity for those who get it. You see, fiat currency, they define it as basically a decree backed by whoever's calling the shots. Think of the U.S. dollar. It's not like it's tied to anything tangible.
So unlike gold and silver, which have intrinsic value because they're rare and used in industry, the dollar is just based on trust in the government.
Exactly. And the authors are pretty skeptical about trusting any government too much when it comes to money, especially the Federal Reserve. They see it as a private entity with way too much control over our fiscal policy.
Yeah, the book really goes deep on the Fed and how we shifted away from the gold standard. And
yeah,
it brings in some pretty heavy hitters, too, like Murray Rothbard's The Case Against the Fed, and even Ron Paul's views.
Yeah.
Makes you look at things differently, that's for sure.
It's all about connecting the dots. Right? They tie these theoretical ideas to real-world problems they call dark clouds looming on the horizon.
Okay, this is where I start getting a little nervous.
Yeah.
Like, should I be stocking up on canned goods and bottled water? It gets pretty intense.
Well, hold on. It's not quite doomsday prepping, but it is about understanding the risks, for sure. One of the dark clouds they highlight is unfunded liabilities like Social Security and Medicare. These programs are growing way faster than the GDP, which raises some serious questions about whether they can be sustained in the long run.
So basically, these programs that so many people depend on are promises that might be broken if the economy doesn't grow enough. That's pretty scary.
It's a concern they raise, definitely. And they also point to the U.S. trade deficit as another big problem. They say we're consuming more than we produce and relying on other countries to finance that imbalance.
Doesn't sound too sustainable, does it? How long can that go on?
That's the million-dollar question. They also delve into fractional reserve banking, which is how banks create money by lending out a portion of their deposits.
I've heard of that, but I've never really grasped it. It's like creating money out of thin air, right? It kind of feels like magic.
It's a complex system for sure, but it's the foundation of our whole financial system. The book argues that this system can lead to credit bubbles and make things really unstable.
So if everyone suddenly wanted to take their money out of the banks, the whole thing could crumble because they don't actually have enough cash on hand.
Yeah, that's the simplified version. But they use examples like the Great Depression to show how fractional reserve banking played a role in that crisis.
Okay, starting to get the picture here. And it's not a pretty one. Are there any other dark clouds we should be worried about?
Well, they also talk about derivatives, which are these financial instruments that get their value from some underlying asset. They can be really complex and risky because their value can swing wildly.
Weren't derivatives a big part of the 2008 financial crisis? I vaguely remember that.
They definitely played a role. And the book uses the long-term capital management crisis as another example of how derivatives can cause system-wide problems.
So we've got unfunded liabilities, trade imbalances, fractional reserve banking, and derivatives. It's like a recipe for disaster.
They paint a pretty bleak picture, yeah. But they also offer solutions. And that's where gold and silver come in. They see them as a hedge against inflation and a safe haven during economic turmoil.
Right, because they're real, tangible assets. They've held value for centuries.
Exactly. But they also stress that you need to understand how to invest in them the right way. There are a lot of traps to avoid.
All right, so how do we navigate this potential economic storm? let's get into the details.
Okay, so you're intrigued by gold and silver, but yeah, you got to be careful, right? There's a whole lot of hype and misinformation out there.
Exactly. It's one thing to think gold and silver could hold their value, but how do you actually, like, go about investing in them? The book talks about that, right?
Oh, yeah. It dives deep into that. One of the big things they debunk is this idea that you don't need to actually own the physical metal. Like, you can just play the market with mining stocks or ETFs.
Oh, ETFs. Yeah, I can see how those would be appealing. They seem super easy to trade. But the book says that's not the best approach, right?
They're pretty adamant about that. They argue that if everybody just bought mining stocks and nobody actually bought gold or silver, well, the price of the metals wouldn't really go up. It might even go down because there's no real demand for the actual stuff, just paper promises.
Makes sense. Like with anything, right? Supply and demand. The price is driven by people actually wanting the product, not just betting on it.
That's the gist of it. And they also point out that mining stocks are still stocks. At the end of the day, they're subject to all the same risks as any other company, so their performance might not actually reflect the price of gold or silver.
So even if gold is skyrocketing, your mining stock could tank because of some other factor, like bad management or whatever.
Exactly. Gold and silver, on the other hand, they're tangible assets. They've been holding value for centuries, you know?
So physical possession is key. What's the best way to do that? Like, do you just buy bars of gold?
Well, the book talks about different forms of bullion and coins. For larger investments, gold bars can be a good option because they have lower premiums, you know, that extra cost over the spot price.
And what about coins? Are those better for smaller investors?
Yeah, coins can be more manageable for smaller purchases, and they give you more flexibility. Like, you can buy a few at a time. And some people believe they'd be easier to barter with if things, you know, really hit the fan.
Like, in a post-apocalyptic world, you could trade a silver coin for a loaf of bread.
Ha. The book does touch on that kind of scenario, but more practically, they talk about different types of gold coins, like American Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, Krugerrands, all those familiar names.
Oh, yeah. The ones you see in those late night infomercials, right?
That's the one. But the book emphasizes that you gotta do your research, you know? Understand the differences between the coins, the premiums, how easy they are to sell in different markets.
So it's not just about buying any gold coin. It's about being strategic about it.
Exactly. And once you've figured out what to buy, then comes the big question of storage.
Yeah, that's what I've always wondered. Where do you keep all this stuff? Under your mattress?
Not exactly. The book goes over a bunch of options, from a safe in your home to professional vault storage services. It all depends on how much you have and your personal risk tolerance, really.
I can see how security would be a big concern. You wouldn't want to advertise that you've got a pile of gold lying around.
Definitely. It's about finding that balance between security and accessibility. Like, burying your gold in the backyard might be secure, but good luck getting to it quickly if you need it.
Good point. So what does the book recommend?
For larger holdings, they suggest professional vault storage might be the way to go. They even talk about something called segregated storage, where your metals are held separately and not listed as assets on the dealer's books. Extra protection in case the dealer goes belly up, you know.
Whoa, that's like Fort Knox level security.
It's all about finding what makes you comfortable, right? They also address the issue of confiscation, which some people worry about.
Oh yeah, like back in the 1930s when the government seized gold. Could that happen again?
The book acknowledges that possibility, yeah. They say there's no absolute guarantee against it, but they suggest ways to minimize your risk.
So it's not just about buying gold and silver, it's about understanding the bigger picture and being smart about it.
Absolutely. It's all connected. They encourage people to be proactive, think about diversifying storage locations, even holding some metals overseas, though that's a whole other can of worms.
Wow, this is getting pretty complicated.
It definitely highlights the need to do your research right. Become an informed investor, make your own decisions, not just blindly follow someone's advice.
So knowing how to invest in precious metals is just as important as knowing why you want to in the first place.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And that brings us to the core of their message, developing a personal investment plan that fits your goals and your risk tolerance.
Okay, let's talk about that. How do they suggest we go about creating a plan that works for us? So we've talked about why you might want to invest in gold and silver. But how do you actually go about creating a plan? You know, one that actually works for you.
Well, the book emphasizes that there's no magic formula, right? It's all about figuring out your own goals, your risk tolerance, and your time horizon. Like, are you looking for quick profits or are you thinking long term? Are you comfortable with higher risks or do you prefer to play it safe?
It's like creating a financial roadmap, right? You got to figure out your destination and the best way to get there.
Exactly. And they also make a big distinction between speculation and investing. Speculation is all about trying to time the market, make a quick buck, you know? But investing, that's about building wealth over time.
So a speculator might buy gold, hoping it'll jump next week, while an investor buys it, thinking it'll hold its value over the next decade or two.
Exactly. And the authors, they're all about the long game, not get-rich-quick schemes. They see gold and silver as sound assets that will hold up, especially when things get rough, economically speaking.
Yeah, that makes sense with the whole perfect economic storm thing. They're not talking about making a killing overnight. They're talking about weathering the storm. Right.
Exactly. They say if you believe in the long-term value of these metals, then short-term price swings shouldn't bother you too much. It's about having a strategy and sticking to it.
But doesn't that mean you could miss out on big gains if the price suddenly spikes?
Sure, it's possible.
Yeah.
But you could also miss out on big losses if you try to time the market and get it wrong. They argue that for most people, a steady, long-term approach is more likely to work out.
Makes sense. It's about keeping a cool head, not getting caught up in the hype.
Absolutely. They also encourage you to think about your personal situation. Like, do you have any debt? Are you saving for retirement? Do you have an emergency fund? All these things should play a role in your decisions.
So buying gold and silver shouldn't be your only financial plan.
Right.
You still need to cover the basics.
Exactly. It's about having a well-rounded approach to your finances, you know? Building a solid foundation first, and then considering precious metals as part of a diversified portfolio.
Wow. This has been a really eye-opening deep dive. We've gone from the big picture stuff like history and economic cycles to the nitty-gritty of choosing coins and storage options. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Me too. This book is packed with information, but they present it in a way that makes you think, you know?
Yeah, and that final message really stuck with me. The call to action. If you believe the economic storm is coming, what are you doing to prepare? It really makes you think.
It's about taking control, right? Not just waiting for things to happen, but being proactive, making informed decisions, and taking steps to protect yourself and build a better future.
Well said. It's been a pleasure diving into this with you.
Likewise. Always a good time to explore these topics and try to make them more understandable.
And to our listener, thank you for sharing this book with us. We hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought and maybe even inspired you to take a closer look at your own financial plan.
Remember, the more you know, the better prepared you are. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.
That's it for today, folks. Until next time, stay curious.